Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Love is one of the greatest things on earth. The actual love itself is agape love. This is 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. The greatest of these is love.
The love of this world is not real love. It is not the love created by the definition of love, Jesus. Real love, as Jesus displayed, is sacrificial. It is unconditional. It is what God commands of us as His kids. With more on the love that shows the world we are His disciples, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with more from our study out of Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, titled, What is True Love?
Love is the way we know we love God. This is 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now this is the agape love, that we sacrifice and put other people's interests above our own interests. Now it also says in 1 John that by this we know that we know Him. Now it's really important when we're looking at whether or not we're saved, that this verse doesn't say, by this you know whether or not people really know Him. That's not what it says. Because we're not supposed to be judging, walking around judging people. Tares or wheat, right? You leave them alone for the harvest. You let God deal with that. But it says, by this we know. This is a self-introspection. I want to know I'm genuinely saved. I don't want to think I'm saved and not be. By this we know that we know Him, that we keep His commandments. Because we have known Him and we believe, we are changed, and now we keep His commandments. And it doesn't mean we always keep them, because the same book that says, by this we know Him, that we keep His commandments, is the same one that says, if you say you have no sin, then you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. It's the same book. So for us, it's knowing that I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't always do it, but I do do it. I do keep His commands. Just sometimes I fail. The same thing is true with you. So if you're here tonight and you go, I am a Christian, I'm following Jesus, but I don't want to keep His commands. What that means is you haven't really believed. Because when you believe, that causes you to act differently. It's not keeping His commands that are works that save you, but they are works that follow salvation when you believe. When you make a decision, I believe Jesus, I'm now going to live for Him. So if you're here tonight, and I'm not being offensive to anyone, I've had people get really mad at me when I make a statement like this because they think I'm picking on somebody, but I'm not. I'm simply saying, this is the way you evaluate. If you go, I'm a believer, but you don't want to keep His commandments, then I'm not going to judge you, but I'm just going to tell you, I would lack confidence if I were you, that you've really been changed. Because when you've been changed, you want to keep His commandments. You want to be obedient to Him. Now, love also brings perfect harmony. And I love this verse, Colossians 3:14. But above all things, put on love. Isn't that great? That'll tell you this great commandment, how important it is. I mean, the fact that it is the Great Commission, we got the Great Commandment, will tell you how important it is. But above all things, put on love. Above everything else, put on love, which is the bond to perfection. Again, we fulfill the law and the prophets by walking in love. And when we, above all things, put on love, it is the bond of perfection within us. No wonder the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. No wonder the Bible tells us that the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, correcting those that are in opposition. No wonder it says in Galatians 6, that if someone is caught in a sin, then you who are spiritual, go to them in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's nothing in the Bible that justifies being mean. nothing. Above all things, put on love. That doesn't mean it's not tough love, and it doesn't mean it's not direct, and it doesn't mean it's not something someone might not want to hear, but it is always with the spirit of gentleness, and it is always without argumentation, and it is always with forgiveness. All of these things we are directed in the Bible, which none of them are ever, you know, what some people like to say, you know what? People don't like me because I speak my mind. Not sure that's biblical. We need to hold back if it's going to offend. You realize that you're not being inauthentic if you're controlling your actions. So sometimes we think, you know, I'm just who I am. And if people don't like it, then oh well. You know, whatever they would say, because I don't even know what you would say after that. But whatever you would say. So what you're saying is you're not going to walk in self-control, and you're going to end up offending people instead of finding a way to walk in love and say things in love. It doesn't mean you're not authentic. You can be authentic and find ways to encourage and strengthen, lift people up instead of tearing them down. In fact, I think it would be unbiblical. Now, how important is this love? It's the great commandment. It's to be above everything. Well, I love the first three verses. I mean, I love all of 1 Corinthians 13, right? It's the love chapter. But the first three verses gives us the importance of love. Listen to what it says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Now, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I know every language on earth and I know the heavenly language as well, and I can speak in all of them, but I don't have love, I'm just making noise. That means in the language I know, if I don't have love, I'm just making noise. That's what it means. You can speak whatever language you speak. And some of you guys speak several of them. And that's good. But if you don't have love, you're just a clanging cymbal. And if you have grandchildren and clanging cymbal toys, you know exactly what he's saying. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that I have all faith, so I could remove mountains. Now, that's quite a list. And though I have the gift of prophecy, so I'm able to, the gift of prophecy can work a couple of ways. I'm able to tell you what God wants you to hear. I'm giving you a word from God. And for those that might have the gift of prophecy, just a little side note, throw in an I believe God told me to tell you in the beginning. That way, that's humility. If you say, God told me to tell you. I had a person tell me one time, God told me to tell you this. Then he told me something horrible. And I told him, well, I don't receive it. I'm not going to live under that. I don't receive it. And he goes, what do you mean? It's a prophecy. I said, yeah, the Bible says, let one prophesy and let others judge. And I'm judging that prophecy. I don't think that was from God. And then he said, well, I've never been wrong. Now, I wish I would have thought, let's get your wife in here. Let's ask her that question. Because I'm quite sure that he had been wrong. But imagine if you could always speak into people's lives. Or prophecy could be like when you're teaching and God suddenly begins to speak to people. That could be a prophecy for you. That could be the gift of prophecy working through the gift of teaching. Sometimes you hear something in a message and you know it's just for you. That's God, you know, although I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries. And here's where I usually make a joke about the Loch Ness Monster or about Bigfoot, understanding whether or not those are true. But here's the truth. The Bible's so full of mysteries. There's a ton of them. I don't know how many times when I get to a spot in the Bible as we're teaching through scripture that I go, I don't know which one it is. For example, in our next study, when David learns of Saul's death, we have an account of Saul where he falls on his sword to kill himself. And then we have an Amalekite who says that he comes and finds Saul mortally wounded and he kills him. And so now it's a mystery. We don't know what it is. And these are the kind of questions that people will ask me sometimes in the Q&A. Well, which one was it? Did Saul kill himself or did the Amalekite kill him? And my only response can be, I don't know. I don't want to say, I don't know, I wasn't there. It was one or the other that happened, but it's a mystery. And there are so many things in the Bible that are like that. They're just a mystery. Who was Melchizedek? That's a mystery I'd like to know. I mean, there's just so many of them as you make your way through the Bible and you understood all mysteries and all knowledge. You knew it all. You knew what the right doctrine was every single time. And though you have the gift of faith so you can remove mountains, which would be incredible, but have not love, I am nothing. So first of all, you're just making noise if you could speak in all languages, but you don't have love. Now, if you can do all of these powerful spiritual things, but you don't have love, you are nothing. You have all knowledge and all mysteries, and you can always speak for God, but you don't have love, you are nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. There's no profit in giving everything you have away to the poor, or even giving your life for someone, rescuing them from a car and you burning to death. But if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. There's no profit in it. Love is what makes what we do worth doing. If what we do is not done by love, this is agape again, then it's not worth doing, because that's how important it is. No wonder, by the way, that love really is under attack. There's the campaign, He Gets Us. You guys have seen that. How many of you are familiar with it, He Gets Us campaign? It's going to be more and more. They're putting on ads in the Super Bowl. This one this year was pretty controversial. I can say, if you're just interested in my opinion, I think they do a pretty good job in what they're doing. At the Super Bowl campaign last year, they had people screaming at each other. Kind of reminded us of 2020. Just people screaming and hollering and full of hatred. Then at the end of it, they said, Jesus never taught hate. Which is kind of a no duh, really. Everybody knows that. There's not a person, Muhammad taught hate. But everybody knows Jesus didn't. There's not a person out there going, Jesus told me to hate you. We all know that's not right. But nevertheless, the commercial had enough in it to go, yeah, maybe we are too divided. Maybe I am disliking someone who's different or takes a different stand when I'm supposed to love someone even when they politically take a stand different than what I take. They may believe that God affirms gay marriages, and we may believe that God doesn't, and we do believe that God doesn't affirm them, but that doesn't mean we hate them, because God commands us to love. But it is under attack. And so Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, which is what reminded me of that He Gets Us campaign commercial from the Super Bowl last year. There was full of bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking. But it says, be put away from you with all malice, the desire to hurt someone, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Now, love is one of the greatest things on earth. The actual love itself is agape love. This is 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. The greatest of these is love. Now think of those three things. They are three great things that are here on this earth. Hope. If you've ever been hopeless, you know it's a horrible way to live. You have to have hope. Even when life is ugly and hard, there's got to be hope. And faith is the way you enter into eternity. That's how important faith is. Now there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Out of those three great things, The greatest is love. Now, love also helps us in our evangelism, which we're really interested in. We know we're ambassadors for Christ. We know we're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We know we want to be effective. But listen to what Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we have an example. Jesus had a sacrificial life. He was a servant. So we're to love like him. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I always say that if we don't get to know each other, make commitments and be vulnerable, we're never going to have that love for the world to go, yes, we know they're disciples. If somebody walks in off of the streets and they don't know, they don't have ever read the Bible. They don't know what's good doctrine and bad doctrine. They have no idea. How are they going to know we're genuine? See, if you visit Calvary and you're a Christian and you know good and bad doctrine, and you hear me say something like, God wants you rich, give to the church and God's going to make you rich, then you're kind of like, I'm out of here. I know that's bad doctrine. But people in the world don't know. So they might walk into a church and somebody may be saying something like, you know, you got to think positive and you got to make your own reality, which has a good message for the world. The world likes that. Yeah, you got to make your own reality. You got to think positively. But if you're a Christian, you go, ah, it's problems. But if they come in and they hear that, they don't know. But if we have a love for one another, that's the way they're going to know that we are his followers. That helps us in our evangelism. People coming to Christ by genuinely having a love for one another. Now, just a couple more. John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love of God, that love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So it's in the same section that he said something a little earlier the same way, but this one is a little bit different. We know that we believe the love of God, that love God has for us, because we are loving people around us. And finally, John tells us that the love of God is, in 1 John 5, 1 through 5, what the love of God is. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begat also loves him who has begotten him. By this we know that we are the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. And whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now you'll notice, if you go back and you look at that passage closer, it's intertwined with believing in love. Because as I used as an example a couple of weeks ago, when you believe, it changes your actions. It's not the works that have been changed that save you. That's just a result of truly believing. I used an analogy here, I think on Saturday night, that the security team was like, can you please not use that analogy? Can you find another one? So on Sunday morning, I used the analogy that if a tanker turned over in the middle of the town, and I ran up, we were helping the tanker and some people get out. And suddenly the driver of the tanker said, this is going to blow up. We got to get out of here. If I believe him, I'm running away. Like I said on Sunday morning, I haven't run for 20 years. I'd be running. If I don't believe him, I don't do anything. How did you know I believed him? Because I ran away. If I stood there, you would not be able to know I believed him. So you see, when we believe what Jesus says, and we now live what he says because we believe him, we believe that love is the best way to live. Now we live in love. That is evidence that we believed. And it's not works that save you. It's not walking in love that saves you. But someone who believes walks in love. There's the works that follow. That's why James said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He's not saying we're saved by works. He's saying we have faith and we believe. Now, three things in closing. Number one, the great commandment is a must. for every one of us. And may God increase the love that we have for one another. May it be something that God moves on our heart with. But may this not be the kind of message that you come to and that a week later you go, what was last Wednesday night's message about? May it be something that impacts us. Number two, imagine our marriages built on all four kinds of these Greek words for love. Marriages that have the agape, I have chosen to love you. The phileo, truly a friend in the marriage. Sturge, you're my family, and I love you because of that. And then eros, that attraction towards one another. I think when marriages begin to break down, one part of this love breaks down as well. And it's why God said to women, phileo your husbands. Be friends with your husbands. God said to husbands, agape your wives. But it doesn't take any of the other ones out of play. Finally, this is not an extensive study on love. I had to pick and choose different passages because there were so many. The Bible truly does say so much about love that it could turn into a long-term series at a church. There's so much more about it, so much more that we gain when we make the commitment to say, I'm going to walk in love. And as we end this service, may that be the commitment that we have, that we say, I want to be that person committed to love. The person that believes differently than me, the person that has a different stand, maybe in politics than me, and the person that I live with, that love would be the commitment of our lives. Stand with me together, would you? And let's pray. Father, thank you that we could take time today to gather together and to think about this great thing called love. We see that Jesus said so much about it that there's no one who could ever think that Jesus taught any kind of hatred. He even said to love our enemies. So, Lord, we pray that this would be who we are, that we would be so Christ-like that love would be that feature that people know about us. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.